Welcome to Girl Gotta Hike the Podcast, episode 12. I'm your host, Melissa Goodwin, outdoor guide, photographer, and founder of Girl Gotta Hike. This podcast features interviews with adventurous women, plus trail tips and hiking advice for those who want to disconnect from the daily grind. On today's episode, I talk with fellow Brooklynites and hike leaders, Avalou Baptiste and Claydonna Denis, who have been nurturing a growing love of the outdoors within their Caribbean community through their group, Tri-State Hikers. About 5 years ago, Ava founded Tri-State as a way to gather together with her fellow Vincentians, natives of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and others of the local Caribbean diaspora as a healthy way to escape from and bring light to the mental health struggles that so many in her community deal with, but which often go unspoken or become stigmatized. In just a few short years, Ava's hikes have gone from occasional gatherings in nearby Prospect Park, Brooklyn, to weekly hikes, exploring trails as far north as the Catskills and throughout the tri-state region. Her enthusiasm, curiosity, and joy around spending time in nature is infectious, and in the summer of 2020, Claydonna, along with many others looking for some respite from the COVID pandemic, were inspired by her to hit the trails too. Now a GGH regular, I first met Ava about a year ago when she came on one of my public transit series hikes. I met Donna on a tough 9-miler on a hot and humid day upstate over the summer, and they both braved many miles and a cold fall night camping with the Girl Gotta Hike crew in the Catskills this past October. For this recording, we planned on walking and talking together nearby, but the weather proved inhospitable that day. Instead, Ava invited us all to record at a safe distance in the storage space of her health food store, which was awesome, but where you will hear some occasional background sounds of the vibrant neighborhood. This episode is full of thoughtful conversation. We dive deep into a discussion about the importance of inclusion and representation of Black and Caribbean people in the outdoors, both on trail and online, and about how the weekly tri-state hikes have become the saving grace for the mental health of both themselves and so many of their participants during this pandemic. I also learn a bit about the beauty of their home country of St. Vincent and so, so much more. Be sure to stay tuned after the episode to find out how you can go hiking with Tri-State Hikers and to learn more about Girl Gotta Hike. If there's one good thing to have come out of this wacky year of quarantine, it's that more people are hitting the trails and finding solace in the outdoors. If you've been wanting to lighten your load and have been perusing all of the possible packs out there, then let me just stop you from going down an internet rabbit hole and suggest that you look no further than Gossamer gear. As a hiking guide who leads day hikes, overnight camping trips, and multi-night excursions, their range of backpacks have been a blessing for me and have yet to break my bank. Since this is the year of staying local, my Kumo 36 has been living on the hook near my front door, perfectly placed for me to pop out on my public transit series day hikes. The convenient shoulder strap pockets fit my Metro card, my hiker wallet, and my phone, and the hip belt pockets are perfect for small snacks and hand sanitizer. If I find I'm wearing too many layers, I simply stuff my puffy jacket into the large exterior pocket on the front, while the stretchy side pockets help me keep my water bottles or my coffee mugs within reach. And the interior leaves plenty of room for my lunch, my camera accessories, a large first aid kit, and any peripherals that my group might need. The best part is that it's still small enough for me to weave through Grand Central or Penn Station unscathed while making my way from transit to trail. As a special treat, Girl Gotta Hike the Podcast listeners can use the code GIRLGOTTAHIKEGOSSAMER to get 15% off your first purchase at gossamergear.com. That's Girl Gotta Hike Gossamer, and there's a link in the show notes. Welcome to Girl Gotta Hike the Podcast. I'm here in East Flatbush, Brooklyn, New York, with Avalou Baptiste and Claydonna Denis. Both avid Girl Gotta Hike hiker friends of mine, as well as leaders of a hiking club called Tri-State Hikers, based here in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. So we were going to go for a walk today here in Prospect Park, Brooklyn, near where we all live, but it's a bit windy and it's a bit cold out today. So we brought it inside. And so Ava, tell me a little about what got you interested in hiking.
I grew up in the Caribbean island called St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and most of my life was spent outdoors. My parents were farmers, my mom particularly, and my entire family. So 90% of the time I was outdoor, either getting food or just for fun.
So your life was built outside. So was hiking a thing, or was it just part of your daily life?
For us, it was a part of surviving. Like, that's how we get our food. We go either hunting or farming, and you have to travel a distance to get there. So, yeah, I would say hiking has been a part of my life since I can remember I can walk.
Nice. And what about you?
Hi, I am Claydonna Denny, and I also grew up in St. Vincent and the Grenadines in a town called Camden Park. So hiking, I did it for fun. The local community college, they had a hiking club. So because I was studying geography, I also joined a hiking club. And we would do stuff like hiking up the riverbeds of waterfalls. We also have a volcano there.
Ooh.
I have not hiked it as yet, but I plan to. So we basically did that, like hiked up riverbeds. We did like nature trails up in the mountains. So I did it mainly for recreation and fun. Mm-hmm. It was also good for training for a track and field. So yeah, I did it mainly for fun. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know anything about St. Vincent. I've been to a few other islands in the Caribbean, but not there. So are the areas that Claydonna and Ava, you're both from, are they very far away from each other? Because it sounds like, yes, Claydonna, you had more of a town or city upbringing, whereas Ava, you're way out in the country.
Yeah.
So they're somewhat like opposite ends of the country.
Yeah.
Where I live is on the south side. Ava lived more on the north side.
Mm-hmm.
St. Vincent in general is very mountainous. Very, very mountainous. The roads are winding, they're steep. So although I was living more in the town area, there were like very, very steep hills and very deep winding roads. Where I live is actually, I don't want to say on the side of a cliff, but it's on the side of a mountain. It's not a flat area, like...
Not flat at all, Brooklyn.
Not flat at all. Like, St. Vincent is the type of country, no matter where you stand, you would see a mountain.
Yeah.
There's always a mountain in plain sight, very close.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Ava, you're up more in the mountains.
Yes, I'm on the northern side of the island, where most people from that side of the island are usually farmers. So going into the mountain, it was like a daily thing where I've always thought of writing a book about how when you wake up in the morning, you can tell who is coming from what direction to head to which mountain. It was like a fun thing for us in the morning because we know who's going to be going here, and we would wait to see who's coming. And everyone would, at a certain time, it would just gradually see people going in one direction, going to their lands to farm. So it was exciting for us as kids.
That's awesome. So what brought you both to Brooklyn?
I worked with a cruise line for about 7 years, Norwegian Cruise Line. And actually, my son brought me here. When I had my son, I moved to New York.
I was young and bored, I would say. I always say the Caribbean is beautiful. St. Vincent is a beautiful country. But you can't be on vacation your whole life.
Yeah.
I moved to New York because it seemed very adventurous and it would be something different. I saw it as a way of gaining my independence and, you know, growing and learning who I am as a person on my own. And it's been fun. So I came to New York for fun.
Nice.
Brooklyn in particular.
Was Brooklyn the first place you moved to?
No. I tried moving to Toronto. However, I went there in December for winter. And that was a horrible idea. I'm sure if I went in the summer, I would have been living in Toronto instead of New York. But there was snow up to my knees every day. And by February, I was like, okay, New York is the place for me, and I moved back to New York and settled in New York instead of Toronto. So, yeah.
And how long have you been in
the US?
North?
Yeah. I've been living here. I moved here in 2008 officially. So I would say roughly a little bit like 12 years. Yeah.
Almost 13.
Ooh. Almost 13. Wow.
Yes. That's 2020 is almost over.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Mm-hmm. Ava, how many years ago did you move here?
I moved here 10 years ago, but through my job, I came back and forth because the cruise line has ships that sailed out of New York. So I did a lot of the states like Miami, Florida, Baltimore during my younger years as a teenager. Like,
I know that when we were on a hike over the summer, you were telling me also that you did a lot of Europe.
Yeah,
the cruise
I did.
Line?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever have thoughts about moving to Europe, or was the States always a plan?
When I was much younger, I thought of moving to England because my grandfather lived there. But as I grew older and I did like a 12-day cruise for like about 6 months in Europe, and it was so difficult to communicate with family, I just didn't feel like I can do it. There were like time changes where you go up to 5 hours ahead or 6 hours ahead. So for me, it was the part of communicating to my mom and my sisters was very difficult. So in New York, it's much easier like to communicate back and forth.
And there's a little bit of home for you here too, especially this neighborhood in particular.
It's a huge Caribbean community, yes.
Yeah, I live, I don't know, 2 miles away, and there's a Caribbean community there as well. But it, like, you come just 2 miles over, and it feels like a really, you really
Caribbean.
Notice it. Feels like the Caribbean. So, do you ever get homesick, or does living in a community like this help?
Sometimes I get homesick, but a few years ago, I'm originally a Garifuna, that's a native of St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and I met a few of my family who started a group called Garifuna Indigenous People. So that kind of helped a lot because we will get together and cook the native food. We will talk about the stuff that we did back home. So we spend a lot of time together. We still do. So that helps me. And we usually ship stuff that we would like to have here. So getting stuff from St. Vincent is not that difficult. So that has helped cope.
What are some of the things? What's like traditional food?
Oh, I love dukuna. There's this staple that we make called dukuna. I don't know a different name for it. That's what I've grew up knowing it as. But it's, we will make sweet potatoes and season with spices and put them in banana leaves. Surprisingly, you can buy banana leaves in Brooklyn. But you can't do that anywhere else in the U.S., I think.
I think in this neighborhood in particular.
In this neighborhood. So you can buy the banana leaves and then you wrap the potato paste into it and you boil it. And that's something I've always loved as a kid, and I'm able to do it here in Brooklyn. We usually shipped our famous madongo, which is made from our root starch, and we make it into a bake. That's one of the things that I know that I missed a lot, which I can now have. That's a native food of St. Vincent and the Grenadines.
What about you?
Me? Yeah. So when I moved to New York, I didn't get homesick at all at first, because it has a very strong Vincentian community here. It has a very strong Caribbean culture to begin with. So I would be able to find whatever food I wanted, hear the music, attend parties and gatherings. And I had a few friends here that had already migrated. Additionally, there are food spots or bars and restaurants and health food stores like the one right here that you would be able to get like fresh soursop, which is like a fruit, and you could get like your sea moss or your Kalalu soup, golden apple, like local fruits, mangoes, local stuff. You could get them from the Caribbean easily in New York, in Brooklyn, So because of that, I only got homesick when it's time to go to the beach. Or during the winter when it's like 30 degrees and you have to question, why did I move to this cold country? Like, this is not a good idea. But yeah, so at the moment and even years ago, I wouldn't get homesick until I wanted to go to the beach.
Yeah.
And then is when I'll be like really, really sad. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess you can always, it's not so far of a trip.
No, yes, well, it's only 5 hours away and you could get on a direct flight. It probably take 4.5 hours, depending on how good the wind is on that day. And yeah, it's not that far. It's not as difficult to get to as years ago because now we have an international airport. So you could get a direct flight and be there in a couple of hours for dinner and you could come back the following day.
Yeah. So you get to have a lot of the food here. You get to have a lot of the culture here and the music and the people. You have almost all of the comforts of home here in the city, but there isn't a lot of open outdoor space. So is that something that you strive for? And is that a reason that you are interested in hiking?
I got interested in hiking from going to Prospect Park, actually. I started a group, Let's Walk Prospect Park, where I had friends and we go to Prospect Park about 5 years ago. And we would walk around Prospect Park. And by posting some of my photos on Instagram, the hashtag Prospect Park, I found Girl Gotta Hike and Cultured Forest. And I started following and I started looking at the pictures and I'm like, where does these places exist? New York. And that kind of really piqued my interest in getting further away from Prospect Park. I started going to Cortlandt Park. Yeah, in the Bronx. Van Cortlandt, yeah, park in the Bronx. And from there, that experience just took me back to home. It felt comfortable. It felt like I needed that because working in New York and living in New York is not the same as in the Caribbean where you get time to relax for yourself, you get time to spend with family, and of course you have the outdoors. So for me, I started having that craving for more of the outdoors. So I started to explore more by looking at where you guys, Girl Gotta Hike, went to and figuring out how do I get to these places. So I started looking at how do I get further away from Brooklyn.
Yes, definitely need a break sometimes.
So for me, I work at a bar in the East Village and I meet a lot of different people, like very interesting people. I have met a pirate. I have met Zorro. No, when I say a pirate, I mean literally a pirate, someone with a peg leg, the rags and everything, the smell, everything. There was like a fish concert. And like that is usually end of the year and you will meet a lot of interesting people. However, throughout the year, I would meet a lot of backpackers. And it kind of sparked my interest. Where are you going with this backpack? Like, I just found it very interesting to just learning how to survive on just what you have in this one bag. Mm-hmm. And from interacting with different people, I started getting more information. I started researching parks. A couple of my coworkers would also hike. And then we started doing it as recreational. So the first park that I hiked at was Bear Mountain State Park. And I did that for like maybe 2 years. I'll go once every like 3 months. But it would be only when I found friends or coworkers who would be willing to hike. And then we get a little bit more adventurous and we'll go to Mount Beacon, the fire tower, or we went to Indian Brook Falls. But that wasn't really like a hike. It was more like a preservation trail.
Easy walk.
Easy, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I noticed Ava would hike. I didn't know Ava from St. Vincent, but I met her in New York like years ago from visiting the health food store.
Because, we were right here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And to just say, if we haven't said it before, we are in Ava's health food store.
Yes.
I'm going to have to get some of these fruits you guys are talking about before I go home. Anyway.
So as a result of looking at Ava's Instagram, I was like, you know what? I really wanted to hike with someone who actually hiked for fun.
Yeah.
And who did it because not just once in a blue moon. So I literally came to the store one day and I was like, well, it was during quarantine too. And I was like so antsy because I went on two hikes already. And it's always a struggle to find like other Caribbean people who wanted to hike.
Yeah.
And then I seen Ava was still hiking. I was like, okay, you know what? I'm gonna ask her. So I came to the store one day and I was like, Ava, hi, how are you? Is it possible for me to go on a hike with you sometime? And she was like, well, if you're serious, there's a hike that's coming up this weekend. I have two. Girl Got a Hike has a hike. I was like, Girl Got a Hike? Who is Girl Got a Hike? I was like, okay, I like the name already. And she told me it was going to be roughly 9 to 10 miles. I was like, well, I'm not going to back down because I'm serious about hiking. Mm-hmm. So we did the Skimahunk.
Oh, Skunamunk. Skunamunk. So that was the first time you two hiked together.
Yeah.
Honestly, I thought you knew each other forever.
I mean,
we knew each other. You knew each other.
Yeah. We knew each other.
We just hadn't hiked before together.
Okay.
Oh, that's so funny.
And she was like, oh, so, but I'm hiking back to back that week. And I was like, I'm coming because nice. I'm going to take it while I could get it.
Yeah.
And then she told me that she hikes weekly. And she told me about a lot of people that she hike with is like from the local tribe, Garifuna, from St. Vincent. And it was just like a very amazing bonding community. A lot of lovely ladies, very energetic, young. And I mean, I don't mean just young literally by age, because we have people as old as 64 years old that hike with us, and they have been hiking with Ava for years.
Yeah.
So I got welcomed in, or I had to force my way into Ava's community, and
it sounds like they accepted you.
But I'm still like the newbie, and they'd be like, well, you know, you're hiking with us, we're not hiking with you, you know. So yeah, but it's like a bunch of lovely ladies that Ava has a part of Tri-State Hikers, and she invited me. I invited myself. And
well, now it looks like you're also helping organize.
Well, we're working together.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Like being a former athlete, I really wanted to get back into somewhat working out, and I love the outdoors. Like I love the fresh air, I love the trees, I love just the topography of the mountain. Like I just love everything about being outside. It's refreshing. Like it lifts my spirit, it lifts my energy. And with everything that was going on from COVID, just that alone is just very stressful, like being in quarantine, being on lockdown, having a curfew. I've never been in a curfew in my life.
Yeah.
I never knew what that was. And I couldn't believe it was happening. But going on a hike, like for a couple hours, like you escape. And you, like the stress literally stays in the city. The moment you see the first tree line, like it's a whole different environment, and it grounds you. And I think sometimes people forget, living in a big city, in a busy city, like we forget how important it is to slow down and just like connect with nature, and nature helps you connect back to you, and it calms you. Calms you. What are the stress, the anger, the frustration, and quarantine just took a whole different toll for me just from hiking with Tri-State Hikers. Mm-hmm. And with the people that I was able to hike with, like them being so warm and happy to be actually be hiking. Like it's a whole new thing, like when you're hiking with people who enjoy it. I forgot what I was saying.
It's an amazing feeling.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's a good feeling. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, Ava, how long has Tri-State Hikers been a group?
I've started Tri-State Hikers about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we did mostly Prospect Park, where I started doing a hike for mental health, because that was something that was very important to me, because my dad suffered from mental health. And it took me a long time to deal with it and to be able to understand how it affects someone and their families. And by meeting other people, because through Facebook, there is a Hike for Mental Health awareness. I can't remember who started by, but I got into connection with them. And they usually do like a yearly hike where I've went and I've met a few people that I still correspond with through Hike for Mental Health awareness. And that has brought me some closure in dealing with that stigma that we have in the Caribbean, where if you're suffering with a mental health issue, everyone just looks down on you as if something is like medically wrong with you, and not looking at it as a way to help you. Maybe you're struggling through a difficult time. And having Tri-State Hikers and meeting a lot of different people, and from having conversations, they look forward to that one day of just stepping away from everything that's around them that they're familiar with, and even their family, just to be able to step away from one day and just give themselves that hour or 2 hours of just, either it's for a workout or it's for they're enjoying the scenery. But that alone, I'm sometimes amazed by the love that I receive from them, because to them it means everything. And for me, it was just, okay, let's go out. And I started recently doing like a sunrise hike, which everyone just loved it, because, and for me, is we leave in the morning where it's dark, and then when we get to the top of the mountain, we sit and watch the sunrise. And I always ask them to meditate or pray or do whatever makes you feel comfortable in that period of time, but make it about yourself and about what you want, and you're embracing a new day. So that whole experience has been, even for me personally, like mind-blowing, in being able to watch a new day rise, like the sun rise and a new day started. And it starts off your day pretty great, because I come back to work, and I mean, even though my customers can be like a pain, it doesn't get me upset, because I've already seen something beautiful that happened earlier that day. And through our hikes, I've always wanted someone to help, because my job is very stressful and I have a son. And it just so happened that Donna came along. We had the same interest. We kind of think along the same lines, and we just click naturally. And we have plans for the future for Tri-State Hikers. But one of the things that we are very passionate about is getting more Black people out hiking, and to push for mental health awareness within our community, because it's such a stigma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously I'm a traditional white girl hiker, right? Like growing up hiking was something that my family did. And I know that even not just Caribbean, but, you know, Black American, mm-hmm. you know, hiking is not a traditional thing for them either. And, you know, my husband is Black and he grew up in the suburbs, a fairly white suburbs. So he knew about hiking and he and his family went camping. But, you know, there are some barriers I know for him. And I know for the Black population in general in America, I think mental health is also a struggle. So I don't know if it is more stigmatized coming from the Caribbean, or if it's something that maybe is shared across that community. But I think it is a struggle when you don't see it in social media, a lot of people out there who look like you. And so I think that it seems like it's really important to have that sense of community for you. Yeah.
Yeah. The sense of community helps, but also like, when it comes to mental health, like going to therapy and having mm-hmm. like a therapist sit down and talk about your feelings, in my community, it's not a common thing. No. You yeah. just get your shit together, basically. Yeah. Like, and even growing up, sometimes I didn't understand, like, when I have friends with mental issues, like whether it be someone who commits suicide or became like extremely violent, even in the Caribbean, we never really acknowledged it as mental health. We just seen it as bad behavior. Mm-hmm. And in a modern city like this, like, therapy amongst different communities is very common. And this is, instead of depending on a friend or a family member to help you sort stuff out, like, you have like a professional who understand what's going on. And it's not until recently, a couple years ago, I have a friend that volunteers at like homeless shelters, and he always said, there's no health without mental health. And then is when it clicked, and I was like, I heard this before, but it didn't make sense. Well, I mean, it made sense, but it just didn't click. It just didn't register mm-hmm. what was meant by the phrase. And then is when I completely was like, we need different forms of help. And if sitting in front of a therapist and speaking, like, sorting stuff out, you go in the hills until you're ready to talk to a therapist. And sometimes it's just simple stuff like stress mm-hmm. and not feeling alone. Like, sometimes you just need to, like, I don't know, reconnect with yourself in a little bit of solitude. Mm-hmm. But there's different ways to help. And for me, who never really had a therapist, I never went through therapy, but I could tell the difference in how I felt mentally by just hiking. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't as important now as much as it was important years ago. Because years ago, I just did it for fun. It was just something to do with your friends and to stay fit. And yeah. But now, it, especially during COVID, during quarantine, it was therapeutic.
Yeah.
It was like I could feel like this, a weight lift off of me, and like the tension in your shoulders. And sometimes you don't even realize, like, you're like grinding your teeth, you know, and it's like you go and you escape and you watch the sunrise, which was like one of the best ideas that Ava decided. Like, let's do a sunrise hike. And I know everyone who sit down and watch the sunrise into a new day is like feeling the sun go from just like it being cold to being warm, and it just warms up the entire day. The sun rays, like, just hitting your eyes and you seeing it, like, it literally raises your energy. Mm-hmm. And meditation makes so much sense now. Like, now I understand why people say meditate, but it's so good. Yeah. And mm-hmm. yeah.
Ava, is meditation something that you've been doing for a while, or something yeah. you found through hiking?
It's something I started when I worked on a cruise line, because for me, I was the only Vincentian on board a crew of like 1,000+ crew members. And I'm the only Vincentian. And I was going to be there for 10 months. And I'm like, how? I was living with two Romanians, which is, there's a language barrier there. And I spent so much time with myself that I start thinking so many things in my head that I find myself just meditating when I'm not working. And when I had my son, that's one of the things that as he grew older that I tried to get him to do. He doesn't have anger issues, but we just do it as a way for him to be calm. We would have conversations, talk about the things that he does, the things that he doesn't do. And I also use that opportunity for when he has done something bad or wrong, I actually use that time to talk about it, because he's in a different state where he's calm and more open. So for me, I've always meditated.
And when you bring people out on the hikes, is that something you try to introduce to them, or is that something that some of your hikers have already been doing as well?
Well, for the sunrise hikes, it just came naturally, because we had to actually sit and wait for the sun to rise. So I know it's a traditional thing for Caribbean people. When they wake up in the morning, they say their prayers. now we have a different generation. People don't say their prayers anymore. Mm-hmm. They either meditate or whatever religion that they follow, they would do whatever ritual in the morning or late in the night. So it just came naturally as we were sitting there and with just the silence and no sound. And to be on the top of a mountain, it just came naturally to have everyone just meditate. And they loved it.
And do you think that the people that are drawn to your hikes are knowing ahead of time that they need maybe like a little break, a little mental break? Or is that just a side effect that they get from it?
It's not just an adventure for them, but it's like, especially during the COVID, it was a getaway from the city. Some people were not working and were home. And some people worked stressful jobs and they just wanted that break. So it was not even about a workout. It was mostly about, as we can say, your mental health, mm-hmm. getting away. I've had personal one-on-one with hikers who would say, They were at a point where they didn't know what to do. And it's just like, just being able to get away for a second, you can think about things when you're not in the familiar surroundings. It gives you, you're in a different headspace, so you can look at your life a little bit differently.
Yeah.
And it just kind of takes it away, you know, takes mm-hmm. away the pain for a few minutes.
Yeah.
You feel refreshed after.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I know, like, a couple of my friends that I've invited, like, some are, like, former military. So they hear hiking, it's like, yeah, I need to release some stress. I have, like, some friends who were just athletes and they weren't going to the gyms anymore for a workout. So some people use it as that. But what I observe from the people, the ladies especially that was already hiking, like, they just did it as just to clear their head, just like instead of strolling in the park.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. and I don't think sometimes the intention is that they go out there to meditate or to work out. It's just a plus that comes with it. Mm-hmm. Oh, and additionally, a lot of people, we couldn't travel. So everyone who had to cancel their flights, like for instance me, I travel a lot to Europe and Asia especially. And with COVID, I was not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Anywhere at all. I canceled all my flights. This was a lifesaver.
Nice.
You know, so it compensated from not being able to travel abroad. Hiking is like one of the best vacations like you could do right at home. So it's like a really good staycation. That's what they call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Getting even nearby. You know, you get an hour north of New York or a little bit west. And
completely different.
Totally
different. A whole different world.
Yeah.
A whole different world. And I noticed, like, a lot of people who live upstate, they walk really slow. They take their time. It reminds me of the Caribbean. Because mm-hmm. I say people who walk slow, they either have money or they have a lot of time on their hands. Those are the only people that could afford to do it.
Right.
Or you're just a happy person.
Yeah.
So you're just happy. You have money, you're rich, or you have a lot of time on your hands, and time is money.
People in New York are like, okay, I've got 3 hours, mm-hmm. you know, what can I do? Where can I go? Mm-hmm.
Because even when I'm not in a rush, I'm still rushing. Once I'm in the city, I'm rushing, and I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just walk naturally. Well, not naturally, I just developed walking fast. And I'm like, why am I rushing? I have nowhere to be. You know? Yeah.
Every time I do a larger hike, something where I'm doing a backpacking trip and out for multiple nights, you know, maybe a week or something, it does take at least 2 or 3 days to kind of get that city anxiety, that like, okay, I have to be doing something. I have to be writing. I have to be reading. I have to be walking fast. And it's like, no, just slow your brain. Like, you can actually just get out there. But it does. Mm-hmm. It takes a few days to get the city out.
True.
Yep.
Yeah. So, Ava, what do you think a big barrier? Well, two questions. The community of hikers that you have, how do you find them?
Most of them are my friends who invited their friends and their coworkers. The thing is, people are willing to hike, especially Black people, but they don't know anyone that hikes.
Yeah.
And I think that's the issue, because that's how I keep finding people. Or they will be on Instagram looking for hashtags, like one lady said to me. She's looking for hashtags of Black people who hike New York. of black people hiking New York. And she found us because I did a hashtag of hike New York or something. And that's how she found us. Mm-hmm. So it's like people want to hike, but they don't know who's hiking, especially in our community.
Yeah.
So
I know that that's a conversation you and I had a little bit on a hike this summer, is how does a hiking community show that it's open to people? Because that's a something as a avid hiker and an avid backpacker, you know, I live in this vibrant city in New York. I'm married to a black man. I have friends that look like all different kinds of people from all around the world. I go out on trail and it tends to be mostly fair skinned. And I know there are a lot of reasons behind, you know, access. People haven't grown up with it, and how to show that you're open to it. For me, I want my trail life to represent my city life. Mm. And I think that you putting yourself out there, it does seem like it's been a beacon for other people of your community.
Yeah.
And as a guide, I want to be open to everybody, but like, I don't want to like put it over the top and be like, I know black people too. You know, like, I thank you both for being open to come on hikes with me where, you know, it might not have looked so inclusive in the past. Like, in my heart, I'm very inclusive. But what you put out on social media and what people see of you out in the world is kind of who you are, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's what people know of you.
What I would say, right, because of everything that's going on now with race and Black Lives Matter movement, if you like go over the top, it probably might look like you're just riding the wave as what's going on.
Yeah.
I would say like you already have black people who hike with you, and let it just happen naturally, because I think like a lot of Americans, black Americans, city black Americans don't really hike because they don't know anyone that hikes. But most of our hikers come from referrals, one. And even after a period of time, it's just going to build naturally.
Yeah.
And if I were you, every black person that come on my hike, I would post that without saying that, you know, without following a hashtag, black people who hike and all that. Because then they'd be like, ah, I don't know. You know, people would still question it. Even it doesn't matter what your intentions are until someone gets to know you.
Yeah.
And even when on my first hike with you, even before I knew you had a black husband, you were very warm and inviting and friendly. And I was like, okay, it felt natural. It felt genuine.
Yeah.
And you just being who you are would speak for itself, and it would reflect through your marketing, through your posting. And honestly, just saying girl got to hike, like there's a lot of women who just want to hike.
That's true.
So who wants to hike, they would find you.
Yeah.
They would, you didn't have to worry about that. They would just find you. Yeah. And take your husband on hikes with you.
Take pictures of him.
Yeah, take him. Yeah, no, honestly.
Yeah, because I remember following Melissa for like maybe 2 years before I hiked. Mm-hmm. But my first thing was the time that I worked. You were doing, I think, Saturdays.
Yeah.
So there was no way for me to get in on a Saturday because I work on a Saturday. But even when I first started, I was not uncomfortable with you. I was just uncomfortable with, I was just only the black person.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, uncomfortable, but I've always been a person where I don't care what people think, but sometimes you feel energy, which is not welcoming, and you're like, but you yourself is the reason why I continue to hike with you. And like I said, like I looked at your Instagram, and when I saw you had a black husband, I was like, yes, she likes black people. I swear, I always tell people this. Like, some people are like, how you first get out hiking? And I'm like, I started with Girl Gotta Hike and women who hike. Well, I started with women who hike New York, but it was just, it was not as personal as Girls Gotta Hike, because it's, they had different ambassadors from like Jersey, New Hampshire, New York, and they would just organize hike. And I've only made like two connections based on probably like 12 hikes I've done with women who hike. And funny enough that when I do Girls Gotta Hike, I have all the people that we hike with on Instagram. Either they added me or I'm able to add them. So it was a bit more personal when it comes to Girls Gotta Hike. You can more like kind of relate. because you will see them again versus women who hike. It's just like, you know, people show up and then that's it. Yeah. You hike and that's it. Like how you, I think it, what works is because you go to a restaurant after and everyone gets to relax and, and have a conversation. So it kind of breaks the ice.
Yeah.
Versus just going on a hike and then after the hike is finished, you go home.
Everybody goes their separate ways.
It's their separate ways. So there's no... Yeah. And that's one of the things where with Tri-State Hikers, I always try not to do very large groups, but I want when people come on my hikes, they'll be able to say, well, I've at least had one conversation with Ava. Mm-hmm. Or I've had some kind of interaction with Ava, so I'm comfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't want you to walk away feeling like it was just a hike and I didn't even talk to the hike leader. Mm-hmm. You know, or the person in charge. Yeah. But I always try to text out before and give information and ask people if they're comfortable and what to take. And, you know, I try to do that. So even though they're total strangers and they're coming into a group, they're already comfortable with me.
Yeah.
So that makes them feel more comfortable when they're in a group setting.
That's great. Mm. That's what I try to foster, that sense of community. Yeah. It sounds like part of your community is built in because it's friends of friends. And, you know, you do have that little bit of association. And that's how actually a lot of Girl Gotta Hike people have come to, is that a friend came on a hike and then they saw the post and then they liked it. And then, you know, let me check that out. But sometimes it's complete strangers. And that's what I like about hiking. I like taking that time to get outside, to talk with the people I'm with, to learn a little bit about them.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, we're on this trip together. Mm-hmm. Let's, you know, support each other. Mm-hmm. Let's help each other. And that's why I started it, is because some of my, you know, really good friends have come from this hiking and backpacking experience. And like you said, Claydonna, that, you know, some of your friends liked hiking, but you'd only go out when they went out. And I, same thing, is like, well, I'm comfortable going out by myself, but I don't always want to go by myself. Mm-hmm. And my husband doesn't always want to come hiking with me. And my friends might be busy with work or kids or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was like, well, I know there's going to be other people that want to get out there too, that just need that other person to like allow it, like, hey, yeah, let's go together. You might not know everyone, but people are in the same boat. And then that sense of like, oh, we're all here together, it just is that nice boost, I think, to motivate people to get out there.
I think like with the Black Lives Matter, and like Donna said, that's all the race issues that are happening lately, people perceive white people hiking. Like some people think, okay, you guys hike very fast, versus they might think, okay, we wouldn't be as fast as you guys because you're used to it, you're accustomed to it. This is something you do. And some people are not prepared. Like they don't have the right shoes and they feel uncomfortable. They don't have the right gears. And that's the reason why I had asked for you to come and speak to some of my hikers, because if they have like a seasoned hiker, they feel more comfortable and confident in heading out, because they think you head out, it's 30 degrees, you know, you're going to be freezing the whole entire 2-3 hours you're outside. But once you realize that your body heats up, what you wear is important and what you do is important, I think maybe you as a seasoned hiker would kind of get through to those people who are like, never hiking on a winter.
And it really is learning by doing, too.
Yes.
Like, I'm happy to share that information with people. Even the introduction to hiking fast, hiking slow. Like, I know people are new, and I know that something I want to add into the Girl Gotta Hike repertoire are some more introductory hikes to get people who are like, I like this, but I'm just not sure about my ability. I think there's a lot of hesitation, is, you know, they don't want to hold anybody else back if they can't do it. And, you know, sometimes we are dealing with a public transit schedule and, you know, I don't want to rush anybody along, but we got to catch that train. And so I'm trying to balance the, like, I don't want to make anyone feel like they're slow, you know. So I've learned over the few years that I've been guiding is building in some extra time in case, you know, early on I'm thinking, okay, well, I can hike at this pace. I'll slow it down a little because, you know, we're going to take breaks and there's more of us and we're chatting. But then realizing like the dynamics of hiking with a group and, you know, I'm a photographer. I love taking pictures, but some of my hikers love taking so many pictures, right? Which is great, you know, but like that slows down the whole group if everybody's doing selfies all the time. Yeah. It, you know, if we don't have to worry about a train, if we don't have to worry about daylight, you know, go ahead, take pictures away. That's what I do for my day job. But, you know, it's learning by doing all of that and learning the group dynamics and seeing someone else say, oh, that's a nice thing about a group hike is what are you wearing? Mm-hmm. Why are you wearing that? So I see so many hikers ask each other, hey, where'd you get those pants? You know, or what do you like about those shoes? And providing that service, I think, is key to getting new people out there.
Yes, it is. The information and making people feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And not even just that, because I always recommend REI, even when they have like their sale or we post it so people can see. But then sometimes hikers will call, they're on a budget. And I'll be like, okay, go to REI. See if it fits, and if you can go online and get it cheaper on Amazon or something, at least you know what fits and what works for you.
Also, because this year, for better and worse, I guess, COVID made all these other things not possible. Mm-hmm. So people are turning to hiking.
Yep.
Yes.
You know, and that is great.
That is great.
So you're seeing all these ads of fancy clothes and tents and what could then look very expensive right off the bat. And so there are ways to save money. My first backpacking tent cost me $85, which, you know, is still a lot, but you could get it used. There's used Facebook Marketplace. Mm-hmm. There are gear sales. There's, you know, there's so many ways. Somebody buys a backpack, tries backpacking once and they don't like it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it's seeing what someone else has. And once you know what you need, there are ways to get that a lot cheaper. And I think just having that community out there to see what other people are doing is such a big help.
But gear is a major thing because a lot of our hikers don't wear the right shoes as well. And depends on the time of the year.
Yep.
You got to change your shoe strategy. Like me, I hate having cold feet.
Oh, me too.
And in the summer, when it's too hot. Meanwhile, I started off with one pair of hiking boots, which turned out to be snow boots. So those were heavy and they were no good. Now I realize that you need at least three different pairs of shoes. One for summer, one with a little bit of cushion for longer hikes. Right. And then you probably need something waterproof for the winter. And as you said, it's very expensive.
Yeah.
Back to a question that you asked before of how to be more inclusive.
Yeah.
I would say videos of your hikes with other Black people, men, women. Videos would show a lot more than just a picture. Because anyone could just take a picture and then walk away. I say interactive videos with you and other Black people, whether it be relatives or friends and family. It is important for, especially in this time, for everyone to like just bond a little bit more and like spread love, you know. And you making an effort to be inclusive is actually what we need, what New York needs, what the world needs. So I would say, like, make more videos with interactions and, like, conversations, whether it be, like, a pep talk on the hike or explaining why the megaliths or something, you know, like, or the birds or the plants or, you know, or the destination or whatever. I think videos would go further than just photos. And what I noticed with Tri-State Hikers, the more you post, the more people will find you.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that you're actually taking that direction and trying to be inclusive. Like, we really appreciate that.
Yeah, I do too. And like, I have a lot of hikers. Like, actively, we probably have like 44, right? Actively. Yeah. Like,
that's amazing.
That's a lot.
Dedicated.
That's a lot.
Yeah. But in the group, you have probably 70 or 80 something people. But I know they'll be excited to know that they're going to learn something more. Because I feel like sometimes people will not ask me certain things on the trail. They will wait until we're done. And they call me and ask, oh, I see such and such was carrying this. And like, where can I get this? It's a lack of information and how to get the information. Because if you go online and you search for certain hiking stuff, you'll find basic brands like Merrell, you know, and where to find them, you might find them at REI versus what. People are not aware that there actually are like groups that are online selling them at discount prices, or somebody used it and you can get it. People want to go out, but they don't want to invest a lot of money in, say, like a tent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if they can rent the tent or borrow the tent, even with like trekking poles, people will say they don't have any place to store them, or, you know, they would rather rent it because they were just going to use it in the summertime. And then in the winter, they don't need it because they don't hike anymore. So having like options, I think, would help, you know. I don't know a whole lot. You have more experience than I do, and I've learned a lot from you and other hikers, but I feel like someone with more experience than me would be able to get across to them more easily in terms of like what you need to wear, because I've had several conversations with hikers about, you know, wearing the wrong shoes, wearing the wrong backpack the wrong way, you know. I've had those conversations, but I try to do it as like a friendly way where people are not offended. But if I have someone like you, would say, okay, well, this can cause you to have back injury in the future.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, there are ways you can wear it that it mm-hmm. that where it's more snug to your body, the way mm-hmm. you pack a backpack. All of those things are, you know, learned by experience. And I'm not sure how I learned except from other hikers as well.
Yeah.
Right. You know, going out on the Appalachian Trail was my first backpacking trip. It lasted 6 months.
Mm.
Like, I learned by watching a whole lot of other people.
Yeah.
You know, I had a list. I bought some gear, but I didn't have the lightest gear. I didn't have the newest gear. I wasn't sure I was going to want to be out there that long or that I could do it. So throughout the hike, you know, I saw what other people were doing. And when I decided to lighten up, I had an idea of what to buy because, you know, that's what I saw. Oh, why do you like that? You know, and I think, yeah, absolutely. I would love to help out your group however I can. I think that
yeah, in the winter, they
the
go winter's hibernating.
Tough. Right. Yeah.
So join us in the spring.
They don't even go out on the street.
They don't even bother to, like, there's, I am just surprised at a few who are now really wanting to do winter, which is great.
Yeah, it seems like mm-hmm. that the love of hiking, the mm-hmm. sense of community, that looking forward to, like you said, a lot of your hikers look forward to it all
yes.
week.
Yeah.
And to miss out on that just because it's a little chilly,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe that outweighs now. Okay, I can handle being a little cold.
Yeah.
But it's true. If you grew up in a place that doesn't have 20 degree days,
yeah.
the last thing you might want to do is go
yeah.
outside.
Go outside, mm-hmm. yep.
Yeah. And it is. It's a matter of, it doesn't even have to be expensive gear. It can just be a few different layers,
mm-hmm.
you know, a few different layers. You don't need the huge, giant parka when
yeah.
you're hiking. You're actually going to get too hot, and
yeah.
then
yeah.
that's going to be uncomfortable.
And understanding your body, because I personally get hot very fast, especially mm-hmm. going uphill.
Yeah.
And for the past couple of weeks, I've just been hiking in just a down jacket and a sweater,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not cold. I would get cold at the end when we're waiting for the train.
Yeah.
But I always try to do a hike where we walk to the trailhead so we warm up. Then you're already warm when you get there, so you can't stand and wait around. We start right away.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, you'll get cold because we're waiting for the train. But, I mean, they seem to really liked it.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Besides the cold weather and besides some of the gear, being unaware of what kind of gear they might need, are there other barriers that you find that your hikers have in particular? Maybe we already covered that.
No, yeah. I think it's only that, and they probably just need to see more people doing it in order to
yeah.
like to become a thing. Like, if you're only exposed to, or if you only see in people that look like you or who hang out in places that you only hang out in these places, then you just accept it as a norm.
Right.
But as long as it's normalized, like, you know what, go hiking, de-stress yourself, have some fun, go to a waterfall, go... Mm-hmm. Backpacking,
you know, one
camping,
of the issues
like,
we've had is large groups
yeah.
to a point where we split up.
Mm-hmm.
I had Donna leading and I leading. So, I mean, we want to get more people, but there's only so much that we can take. Because mm-hmm. when we did our hike for mental health, we had to split up in three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it was 37 people, I think.
Yeah, a lot of parks have limits to the amount of groups that you can have.
And
you need to have
not
permits.
Just that, but everyone would have different abilities. So mm-hmm. she might start off with 15 people. And on her way up, someone feels like, I can't really handle that pace. They stays back and wait for me. Then mm-hmm. I end up with more people than I...
Right.
You know, so because we do it once a week... There's only so much we can take.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
And that kind of limits mm-hmm. everyone, where you have to choose, are we going to overbook? Or because we have cases where we literally have two vans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So maybe we need more guide.
Yeah. You know, issue I'm running into too, especially with COVID, is that, you know, I used to lead the public transit hikes with 15 people by myself. And I think that that was about the max amount of people that mm-hmm. I feel comfortable leading. And then when I cut it back to make everybody feel safer, to make me feel safer, to not have as many people on the train in one group, mm-hmm. I found I really do enjoy, you know, about eight people, because you really do get to have a chance to talk with everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone gets a chance to talk with each other, but also you're not so spread out, you know, mm-hmm. with ability. And as a solo guide, me trying to facilitate the faster hikers and the slower hikers, mm-hmm. I want to be able to make sure everybody's feeling comfortable, and not also that the fast hikers just feel like they're waiting all of the time either. So, you know, there are the figuring all of that out, you know, where you have, that's mm-hmm. why I want to bring on more guides too, is we can split it up. Mm-hmm. We can facilitate the mm-hmm. amount of people that want to get out there, mm-hmm. but we can do it safely by separating skill mm-hmm. level. We can do it by not having so much impact on the trails and the other hikers who might be around there. You know, you even with eight people, you come through and everybody's chatting, and it's mm-hmm. like someone who's just out there looking for quiet and solace is probably like, who are these? Where did this party come from?
Sometimes they try to crucify me for going too fast. They're like, why is she going so far ahead? She needs to stay with the group. And sometimes they don't understand. Like, some people wants to work out.
Yeah.
And some people just want to stroll and relax. Yeah. So we have to try to cater to both needs.
Yeah.
You know, and enjoy it at your own pace, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, that's amazing that so far you've still been able, you know, you figured that out. That, mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. You still want to facilitate everybody who wants to come on the hike. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big of any business, but especially guiding, is how do you facilitate the most amount of people? Mm-hmm. You know, what is it that people need? The gear checklist that I send out to everybody was, you know, partially to help New Yorkers, because I figured like maybe New Yorkers don't know what to wear, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but partially because I'm leading people. And if someone doesn't have shoes with grip, that is gonna, you know, not hurt the group, but it's gonna slow everybody down in one way or another. So it's helping them, and it's helping the group on the whole mm-hmm. to have that kind of stuff. But, you know, all of the things I've tried to build into the business, and as it grows, is like, oh, people are missing this. All right, how do I fix that? People are not knowing about this other thing. How do I let them know about that? And it sounds like you're doing a similar thing, trying to figure it out as we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have 44 fairly active members of Tri-State Hikers. And where do you want to see this go? Just continue with weekly hikes, or do you have bigger plans?
So should I say it? Because we're both from St. Vincent, mm-hmm. like what I would love to see happen is for people who are only New Yorkers or who have only hiked in New York also like travel to the Caribbean and hike. There's a lot of tour guides that already exist there, but we want to be able to market and be like, look, there's traveling community is actually a big community worldwide. Mm-hmm. Because what I've seen, like I've traveled to Bali and there's a lot of tours, like sunrise hikes, they hike volcanoes and all that stuff. Same thing we do in the Caribbean. I want it to become like, I don't know, more advertised.
Adventure tourism.
Adventure tours, hiking. I see the importance of people exercising and being fit. So we want to get it to the level where you could hike in New York, you could hike in the Caribbean. Also, in my opinion, I love the idea of, like, you know, you hike to a destination. Oh. You know, like a destination hike, would it be like a waterfall or a pond?
And so you want to bring this swim back to St. Vincent.
Yes. To St. Vincent, or even here in New York. Like, there's a lot of waterfalls in New York that are beautiful, and you could hike to and, like, take photos and, you know, enjoy. That's what I would love to see happen. Yeah.
I would like to see it becoming bigger and better, where we have a connection to the Caribbean, where we are able to get hikers to, especially St. Vincent, because there's so much to enjoy there. There's so much waterfalls. It's a mountainous island where you can hike from one end of the island to the other, where you can, it can be like a day trip. It would be something new for locals, which would be interesting also. And I'm sure it'd be welcome. That's what we're working on, making a connection from Brooklyn to St. Vincent and getting people out more and having the trails marked for tourism and also for the local people so they can get out more and appreciate what we have to offer.
Also, instead of Vincentians coming from St. Vincent just to New York, just to shop, you could take some of that money and you could come on a Tri-State Hikers hike and you could explore some of New York's beautiful mountains and trails, you know. So vice versa, like have people from St. Vincent come to New York to hike and have people from New York go to St. Vincent to hike, and just that little pocket of people, like, you know, help each other out, I guess.
Does St. Vincent have any national parks or protected areas?
Yes, we have like a lot of conservation parks.
And a marine park.
We have both for land and both for water. On the land, and like it's controlled by the forestry. Most of St. Vincent is basically a preserved park. There's some parts of the interior that you can't get to. There's like farm foot trails. And as you know, like, one of our local national plants is the marijuana. So there's a lot of, like, there's a lot of foot trails where people go and plant. So the marijuana is basically, it's grown legally there because it's a natural legal export to medical cannabis companies. So I would say there's a lot of footpaths. There's a lot of unmarked trails. You could hike from one part of the country to the next part. You could hike from both directions of the volcano. You could hike from the windward side and the leeward side. There's a lot, but most of it is preserved. And it's going to stay there for a while because we basically live on the coastline of the island as opposed to the interior. So it's still very green. It's still very much protected. There's still a lot of like wildlife, birds, parrots and hummingbirds and all that sort of pretty.
So growing up, were you able to recognize that your country was protecting that space? Were you able to recognize what you had?
How beautiful it was. So because I studied geography, both in high school and college, I understood what it is because, like, they basically taught it. But before that, I just always just thought it was pretty. I didn't know what they was doing about it. Yeah.
For me, I've always appreciated it because that's where our food came from, the mountains. And my mom... heritage is Kalinago, and they were farmers and fishermen, and one of the reasons they didn't want the British to invade their land because it was sacred to them. It was their means of income and food. So I've always been privileged to have my mom as a farmer. I think very highly of her as being able to provide for her family through farming. And that's where my love for nature was nurtured as a kid, because our lands were not flat. You literally had to climb mountains to get to some of them. And we've always done the early morning hiking, you have to say, because we had an uncle who will leave at 2-3 o'clock in the morning to go to the mountains, and then we have to take him his tea. So we had to get up there. And sometimes we get up there and we can just look out to St. Lucia on a clear day. It was just, as a kid, it was a beautiful experience to have that. And where I'm from, we have three rivers. And it was a daily thing to bathe in a river mm-hmm. where there was a waterfall. And we appreciated that, being able to go there every day and take a bath as kids and jump into the water and enjoy the waterfalls. And now that I've grown older, and from speaking to my mom, my cousins, they're also very proud of the fact that we have all these natural resources that, mm-hmm. you know, people can come and enjoy also. So
nice. I think from the time I was growing up to now, I think St. Vincent have advertised the importance of the preservation mm-hmm. and the cleanliness and maintenance of the natural sure. resources, the forests and beaches and waterfalls. Also, they focus a lot more now on the Garifuna tribe, which is like a Native American, what is it, Arawak?
It's a mixture of the Kalinago people, which mm-hmm. the Caribs and Africans.
Carib and Africans.
It's mm-hmm. an infusion of both right. became the Garifuna.
So they focus a lot more on the Garifuna local tribes there, and that brings a lot more awareness and appreciation than we had years ago. I know from geography, they always taught us about ecotourism. Mm-hmm. And I remember I had this teacher, his name was Donald Lockhart, and he would always say, ecotourism is the future. Because no matter what happened, when technology advanced, people are going to naturally want to just, they're going to miss something. And there's going to be a yearning for nature. And mm-hmm. we wouldn't understand the importance of it until when technology is like so crazy advanced that, you know. And now I could see that they're building more towards it and teaching more about the importance. Mm-hmm. Like, from the first time I hiked on a U.S. trail in New York, you would already see signs like do not litter, or you would see that the parks and the trails are well marked and maintained. So you already know somebody cares about this. Now St. Vincent is getting more towards that, like actually like showing more of mm-hmm. the importance of why it should be preserved and protected. And
nice. Sounds like a lovely place.
They would protect like more the wildlife, like the parrot, the national mm-hmm. bird is indigenous to St. Vincent. It's not, you can't find it anywhere else in the world. So all my life, they protected the Amazonia
yeah.
Gildingi.
Yeah.
They the protected Vermont that, Nature Vermont Nature Trails. Mm-hmm. There's a preservation, a bird preservation company.
There's one in Botanical Gardens.
So there's the one in Botanical Gardens, but there's also one in Germany. Oh. That protects exotic birds. Hmm. So from time to time, they would have like hatchlings, like little baby male and female birds, and they'll send them to Germany. And after they're a certain age, they would send them back to St. Vincent.
But Germany also, all the way to Europe?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if there was a town called Germany.
No. They have like, I can't remember the name, but it's like a bird sanctuary that they protect exotic birds. And because the Amazonian Gildingi could only be found in St. Vincent, they yeah. always maintain like a couple male and female birds. And they would just like take a baby bird, maintain it, take care of it for a couple of years, and then send it back. But just so that the species doesn't go extinct. They,
yeah. mm-hmm.
I don't know if I said that right.
Yeah. All right. That's great. Ava, I know that you take your son out hiking a lot. Is there anything about hiking with the next generation that you want to share? Or?
So I think for me personally, I would like to have more of my hikers' children out doing hikes with them, to give them that feeling of being outside, away from a video game or the TV. It's been a difficult time for kids with the homeschooling. Mm-hmm. 'Cause even with my son, he gets very bored. Because imagine 5 days a week, you're in front of a computer, and then Saturday you want to relax. And then Sunday, your mom might want to do something. Then you're back in school on Monday morning in a box. They like to imagine more and want to do more and want to learn more. Mm-hmm. I know, okay, you're keeping them at home to keep them safe. But what is that doing for the development of that child mentally?
Yeah.
I mean, all the information they're getting from is only a computer. Even their sport activity, they have it online where they jump around for 2 minutes and that's it. I mean, think about it as an adult. An adult will go crazy being in a house for that long in front of a computer versus a child who's maturing and needs to explore. I don't know. It's just, it's crazy. So I try to take my son out, even when he doesn't want to go. But when he gets there, it's a whole different story.
Also, just to back what you're saying, a lot of people that I spoke to, they all asked, do you take kids as well?
Yeah, I would love to take kids.
So there's a lot of requests for that.
Yeah.
Like just because if you're doing homeschool, then it's a good outdoor recreational activity.
Mm-hmm.
And at least if you get parents and their kids, is a way for them to bond and hike. So I think going forward in the summer, there'll be like some days where, you know, it could be like a day camp, you know?
I'd rather take the kids by themselves.
Without the parents?
Yeah.
Oh, good Lord.
No, it's a different experience.
I
because,
know.
No,
I
kids,
don't know how the kids, I don't
no,
know how
as
the
a,
kids.
As a parent, when you're with your kids, they behave differently versus when you're not there.
That is true.
They do.
But I have no clue. I don't have any kids.
Yeah, they do.
I don't either.
And I've had that request over and over, and it's just, you know, I haven't been able to do it. But I always take my nephews and my son out to go hiking. And as kids, they're curious, and you listen to conversations between them. They learn from each other.
That is true.
You know, they share information, and they might see something on the trail which they've never seen before from another hiker. And my nephew had a conversation with other hikers about Highway 1, which I didn't even know about. We met a couple on the trail, and he said something, and they were familiar with what he said, and it sparked a whole conversation where I learned something also about Highway 1. There was some conversation about
Highway 1. Is that in a horror movie?
No, it's an actual place
in California.
Yes, yeah. In the U.S. Yeah. Where it's called Highway 1, and
I think
there's
I heard
something
that.
Significant because the
on Criminal Minds. I heard that on Criminal Minds before.
Yeah, the hiker's actually he raced cars because my nephew said something. They started talking about it, and I was like, "How do you know about him?"
Mm-hmm. I seen it on Criminal Minds. Somebody took Highway 1.
So, I mean, it's a learning process for the kids also. Not just to learn about nature, but that just that interaction with other people and having different experiences. They themselves, I've had experiences where my son think the hikes were tough. And when he's done, he's like, I enjoyed it, even though it was hard, you know, and it helps them to make decisions also, because when I took my son to do breakneck, he tried running up one of the rocks and he fell, and, you know, he learned something that you can't just run on a rock. It's dangerous. Mm-hmm. At the end, he said, it was tough, but we did it. We kept pushing through. And that builds them mentally.
Yeah.
You know, life is not going to be easy. There are going to be tough times. You just have to push through.
It gives you, you feel accomplished when you're done.
Yes. And even at the end, and they've done like 6 miles, and you tell them, oh, we did 6 miles. They're like, what? I walked 6 miles. That's like 10 blocks. For them, it's okay. They felt like they've accomplished something today, and it's important to them to make them feel like, you know, you're doing something that's worth it versus a video game where, you know, the conversation would be different.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both so much.
You're welcome.
For coming on this adventure. We didn't really go anywhere.
Do you have any advice for us?
Do I have advice for you for leading groups?
In general,
for leading groups, for building Tri-State Hikers, for making our group more inclusive as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have a few, but I think sometimes it's the same thing where people feel like, a little uncomfortable, because even for me, before I've ever hiked with you, I'm like, what do these people talk about? You know, because growing up, I've never really been around anyone white or had conversations. So for me, it's new. And I'm sure there are other people that think like me. Like, I wonder what they talk about, where us who have a Caribbean background, we will talk about our food, our culture, our people, and even though we have a lot of St. Lucians, Grenadians, we do similar things. But versus someone from a different culture that you don't understand, the conversation might be kind of awkward. So,
well, so growing up, my family, we hosted like a lot of missionaries and a lot of Peace Corps workers, and they would all go hiking, but I wasn't allowed because I was too young. As I got older, like, some would go hiking with me and the Geography Hiking Club. And I don't even know what we would talk about. They were all, like, just basically, like, big sisters. You know, I was just, like, the little kid.
I know some people just are uncomfortable because you wonder what, you know, the type of conversation you would have.
Yeah.
But I think, like, for example, in a setting where if we invite her and we're all just hiking or whatever, people might realize it's totally different. She's not... You know,
you're
versus,
normal. Yeah,
exactly. Like when someone said to me, no, I'm not going nowhere and I'm on to it, no, white people, they're crazy. In my head, I'm like,
because
maybe
you don't know
I
better.
Thought that way before.
Right, right.
And when you don't know better and you don't understand it, you kind of like...
I think you have to allow yourself to be open to like, okay, what is this human teaching me and what could I learn from this human? And look for similarities.
Yes.
Because what I've noticed over the years is that you have more in common with people than you realize.
Yeah.
Whether it be you could bond over like a cup of coffee because I hate sugar or I like almond milk or, you know, like you, if you want to find something to bond upon, you could find it.
Yeah.
With just having a conversation, you would figure it out. And I think we just have to allow each other to meet in order to have those conversations.
Sure.
So it start with just being, with meeting one another.
Yeah.
And then you have the conversation. And it's not going to be the same as like employer to employee or coworker. Now it's like in a chill setting. Because from working at a bar, it's like you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at what you learn from drunk people or from hungry people. And, you know, so I think we just got to figure out a way where we can meet together. And I'm sure we'll figure out something we could bond, because it's already hiking. That's already one thing that we have in common that we like doing.
I think that's a great starting point, you know, is like, hey, we're doing this thing that we all like together. And that's part of what I like about Girl Gotta Hike, is, and it being New York based, people who come on the hikes have so many different backgrounds. You know, there's teachers, there's lawyers, there's actresses, there's all sorts of jobs, there's all sorts of interests that people have. And I just find that interesting. And, you know, I like to learn what everybody else does, because I'm a freelance photographer and I spend a lot of time by myself if I'm not on a job. So for me, it's like, it's just such a way to get to meet people I wouldn't have met otherwise. I think that by, I don't know, I hope that by me trying to foster those conversations, that everybody else kind of feels comfortable to start talking to each other as well. Because I've had trips where nobody knows each other. You know, I know you've both been on Girl Gotta Hike hikes, and you do see some of the same hikers come back, and you kind of start to build a relationship with. Then there's hikes where everybody's new, or half the people are new, and I feel like I hope that my role as a guide is to, you know, not just guide people and keep them safe and know the terrain and, you know the safety aspects of it, but just also be able to try to get people to converse with each other.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, some people like are quieter people, and you kind of can pick up on that here and there, and like, okay, I'm not going to ask them 20 questions. But I think, I hope that just by chatting with everyone, that that kind of gets the ball rolling. I've tried to force it before. Like, okay, we have a group of 20. And I was like, well, I'm not going to get to talk to everybody, but I want to make sure everybody talks to everybody. So every 5 minutes or every 10 minutes, I was like, okay, switch who you're walking with. And I think some people like that. And some people were like, you didn't need to do that. We would have done it naturally.
Right,
I was like, okay,
right,
thank you for the feedback. So, you know, the other thing is being open to to feedback and seeking it out. I always intend to seek out feedback, but I don't always actually do it. Mm-hmm. And just learning like, oh, what do people want? Not that you have to cater your hikes mm-hmm. to what each person wants individually, but if there's a trend mm-hmm. of, oh, this is how the people are feeling. And the other thing I've learned is, what am I actually capable of accomplishing with all the other things that are going on in my life? I have a lot of goals for where I'd like this to go and a lot of big trips that I'd like to do with the group. But what can I actually do at this moment? Where do I need help? Mm-hmm. And you know, accepting that, okay, I need help. I can't do it all. Or I don't have the capacity to fulfill this at this moment. Mm-hmm. And just being okay with that. Like, I don't think anybody, I hope, but I don't think anybody's ever walked away disappointed. Oh. I think I've had some, you know, suggestions of, hey, could you do some more beginner hikes? And I just haven't had the time to put those on the docket yet. Okay. But it's something that I know that I wanna grow mm-hmm. towards. So, you know, okay, how can I facilitate the most amount of people? But how can I also make sure that it's something that I feel comfortable leading? Because if it's, I don't know, if it's a hike of, you know, both men and women, I don't know that I want to offer that.
Right.
As, you know, not that I wouldn't be, I'll offer that as a private hike. Oh, yeah, like singles hikes, Tinder hikes.
I'm just comfortable with just women hiking. Yeah.
And it's not cool. Like I'm not open to it, but I think recognizing like I don't need to cater to everybody's idea of what they want out there. Like, let me do the things I'm best at. And if I want to, I've done private hikes with, you know, married couples and families and things like that. Like, I'm totally open to guiding whoever, but girl gotta hike, you know, it's kind of, I'm always trying to redefine, like, what is that? Hone in on, and what is girl gotta hike? So what is Tri-State Hikers? You know, if you want to be more inclusive, like, okay, you'll figure it out. You'll figure out how to get there. If you want it to be this respite for people of Caribbean population, like, maybe that is what it is. Maybe you just every once in a while you do some kind of collaborative hike with other groups.
And I like the idea because there's a lot of single people out there who like to hike, but they can't find a partner that wants to hike with them. So don't ignore that idea.
Like, so maybe I should do that idea.
Yeah, if you could. Like, it could be like a singles dating
a special event.
Hike. And even if it's just somewhere to meet people.
Yeah.
Like, where single people could meet. Like, you take it from wherever you want to take it after that. Mm-hmm. You know, take it to wherever you want to go with that. But
I do know I have some male listeners of the podcast. So are you putting yourself out there right then?
Me? Oh, my God. Honestly, I personally would love to date someone that likes to hike or likes to be active. Because that's always a problem. Because it's like, I'll be dating someone. I'll be like, okay, I'm going on a hike today. They'll be like, okay, I'll see you when you get back. And I'll be like, this is so much fun. It's a fun thing to do together.
Yeah.
You know? And like, normal people hike. Like, my brother, like, he's a West Indian man. And he's like, you're crazy. Why are you? And he played basketball all through high school and college. Like, he is an athlete. He did track. Like, he is active, but he still would not go hiking. And I would love for my brother to go out there and hike. And even with us hiking, there's a lot of single women that hike. And a couple of my, like, I would invite, like, guy friends, like, whether it be actors or gym people and whatnot. And they would come and they interact. And I'm sure, like, if they had somebody that would hike with them, they would love to date somebody that hikes, you know? So for me, like,
the opposite.
You're the opposite?
Yeah. No. I like my alone time. It's just like a break and then you come back fresh. I don't know. That's how I look at it. That takes care of my anger issues. I'll go beat on a tree and then I come back and I'm like, okay.
I guess I'm the opposite. If I like you, I like you. Yeah. And I don't care if I spend all day with you. If I actually enjoy your company, it's like we'll become best friends and we'll hike together. We'll do this. And it's like, I have no problem with that. But I just think it would be so much fun if you had somebody you could hike with, camp with. Like, I want to go camping more often. You know,
I'm totally the opposite.
The camp tent, like, I was cold the other night when we went camping. I wish I had somebody, like, I don't know.
It is warmer when you have another person in the tent.
The tent is way warmer. But even though I would feel safer because I have never hiked solo. And I don't know if I'm brave enough. Like, I travel solo. I will get on a plane and I'll go to a different country where I know no one. And I'm fine with that because I hire a tour guide. Mm-hmm. But for me to pick up and go in New York, upstate, and hike like Ava does it, I would not.
I think because I don't know if I have mental health issues. Mm-hmm. I don't.
Right.
But I'm just the individual where I
think we all have a little bit of mental issues.
I do this thing when I hike alone where I will talk so I can hear myself talking. Maybe it's like a confirmation of something that I want for myself, where if I hear it, it'll be confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Hiking for me is where I connect with myself. Even though I'm with people, sometimes I'm in my own headspace where I'm able to think about other things besides what am I going to cook for tomorrow for my son or what I have to do for work. It's like that goes away. It just kind of gives me that feeling of taking care of myself. Because while I work 6 days a week, I hardly spend any time where I was sit and like just be alone.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving yourself. You're giving. And sometimes there's nothing coming back to you. Like getting away and being able to be alone in your own thoughts and to think without any distraction. I don't know if that sounds weird. That's why I wouldn't want a partner, because then you'll be in my space where I'd rather be alone.
Got it.
Hiking just gives you that space.
Yeah.
It gives you that space where you feel like you've given so much of yourself to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm giving to myself to reward myself.
Right. I understand.
You just need to not work so many days.
Because I work like from Monday to Saturday and Sunday is my day off. But yeah, if I go to hike without people, I can't post a photo. Because it's like there's people who like are relying on me to be there
so
for them
on
that
your day.
Day
off, yeah, you still have people relying on
you. And I don't mind because then even when I'm there, I'll probably have the conversations I wouldn't have naturally at home. I'll maybe look at what my situation a little differently. And they're out there looking for something too. Because
mm-hmm.
when people want to escape, is sometimes they just want to break from something or they just want time for themselves.
Yep. And you become their therapist.
And you become their therapist, which I don't mind. Because I fall in that. Like, some of the hikers were actually sharing their experience of being home and not working and then having your husband there. And it was just like a whole therapy session and everyone needed. And it was just like...
Right. And I completely understand.
People are looking for avenues or ways, and you expressing yourself to your partner or your sister or your brother is different from a total stranger who's not going to judge you and doesn't know your background. And you can be free to say whatever you want without feeling that person is going to be judgmental because they've known me previously.
There's no history.
So you feel more open to say things versus the people you're already familiar with.
Uh-huh.
And that person might look at your issue from a different angle and just might help.
I agree with you.
That's for me why with a partner, you're going to go out there with the same issues that you had at home. Now, how do I step away on a trail?
Well, so that's the thing is with me, right? If we have issues at home, then the issues is there because we're not probably communicating, right? And if we communicate a little bit more, maybe in a different setting, maybe we'll be able to figure certain stuff out. The setting of not being in the house, in the four walls, or in the regular routine will probably assist, you know, make you feel a little bit more lighter or honest in, okay, whatever you say here, it stays here and hold space, you know?
I mean, that would work for some people. So I guess it's the type of individual that you actually are.
Right.
And then you might have a partner that likes hiking but doesn't like to have conversation on the trail.
That would stress me out. Like, you have...
Exactly.
I love to talk. I talk too much.
I love hiking. My husband and I used to go hiking together a lot more until I started backpacking. And then he's like, all you want to do is hike. Like, I want to do some other things too. So, like, we'll go out once in a while together, but I'm way more into it. And then that's you know, I get so much joy out of it. Obviously, I started the guide business in order to share it with other people. So one of the big things for me, it was really hard, is I wanted to share this love of backpacking with him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I like going to a mountaintop. I like seeing a waterfall. But like 5 days in a row, like, I got other things to do, you know. Right? So it is hard. It's like, we do enjoy the time that we're out there. He enjoys scenery. But like, I've learned the limit. Mm-hmm. Of like, I want him to enjoy it as much as I do. He's not going to, or right. He's going to enjoy it in a different way. Mm-hmm. And so if he will come out with me sometimes, if I really want to do something, he's like, all right, yeah, I'll do this thing with you. That's fine. I know he's enjoying it to a point, but I can always tell when he's like, all right, let's get back to the car. Let's go. Right. You know, and I have to accept it, not take that personally.
Right. That
you
is
know,
true.
That took me a while to figure out is like, oh, I love this thing. You're going to love it as much as I do. And he doesn't. But then, you know, that's great. I have met all these other friends and
along the way
that I can share that with. And so I think, it can be used as a break from your relationship. It can be used to find relationships. Yes. I know a lot of people who've hiked the Appalachian Trail and met their partner from it. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe
I know people who have gotten married after having hiked together.
Wow.
And they met on trails. So, you know, it can be really bonding, or it can, you know, it could also be like quarantine. Yeah. Like, I've spent every day with you and I no longer want to do that.
Right. That is true. That is true.
It's all, you know, finding the right balance. And it seems like with your group, Tri-State Hikers, you guys are finding that nice balance of getting out there once a week, and you have people who are relying on you and you like it still and you want to grow, to grow. And I think that's really awesome. I really enjoy seeing you guys have so many great pictures, and I'm like, wow, I started this business and I don't even get out there as much as you guys.
Right.
You're doing a great job. I want to commend you on that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We try.
Is there anything else that you think you would want to share with the Girl Gotta Hike audience, or any parting words?
Let's hike together.
Nice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we can work together and mix and mingle to get more people out, encourage more people to be open to hike with Girls Gotta Hike and Tri-State Hikers. You know, it's a community for everyone, where we want people to feel comfortable. And if they feel like, okay, I'll go with Girls Gotta Hike if they have a black guide, or I'll go with Tri-State Hikers if they have a white guide. I mean, it's not about race. You also want people to feel comfortable and knowing who they're going to hit the trails with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a community that helps one another, and we can build and all grow together. Yeah. It's a huge market out there. And it's a huge community where people have the need to get out, and there's only so much that we can do as individuals. So I think always collectively you can do so much more. You can reach a broader audience by working together. So
definitely. Well, thank you both so much.
Thank you for this.
You're welcome. And I'm going to have to come over to the shop, and you're going to have to show me some good fruits to buy. One last thing, give me where to contact you if you want anyone in the audience to contact you.
You can use the email, tristatehikers@gmail.com.
TRI, right?
Yeah, TRI.
You can also find us at Tri-State Hikers on Instagram as well, if you want to contact us. And we would love to have you come hike with us, bond with us, get to know each other. Let's hike together.
Perfect. Major thanks to you, dear listener, for hanging out for some trail talk on Girl Gotta Hike the podcast. And major thanks to Avalu Baptiste and Claydonna Denny for being so willing and open to dig down deep about the importance of inclusion in our outdoor realms, both on the internet and on trail. These conversations, while sometimes difficult to start, are so important to have and to continue to have, especially when we are really just at the beginning of, I hope, major systemic and social change as a result of the Black Lives Matter movement. I thank them, too, for sharing their stories of mental health struggles, both personally and within their greater Caribbean and Black communities. Hiking has always helped me either clear my head or spark creativity, and those are two things that have been harder to come by for just about everyone in 2020. For anyone really struggling with the effects of the pandemic or anything else in your life, I really encourage you to reach out to a friend or to a hiking group as a way to get out of your head and put your feet on the ground so you too can start to find solace in the outdoors. 2021 is just a few days away, and while none of us can predict what is going to occur, one thing is for sure, there will be more collaborations between Girl Gotta Hike and Tri-State Hikers. Ava, Claydonna, and all of you listeners can rest assured that I am stoked for whatever's in store, especially if it means a visit to the mountains and trails of your lovely home country of St. Vincent, assuming travel is legal and the vaccine does its job. In the meantime, if you want to learn more about Tri-State Hikers or attend one of their upcoming local hikes, be sure to message Ava or Claydonna on Instagram at Tri-State Hikers, or you can send them an email at tristatehikers@gmail.com. That's T-R-I State Hikers. Special thanks as always to my good friend Eric Sanderson of Augustine's fame, whose lovely music is accompanying this podcast. You can find out more about his music on Instagram at @heisericsanderson and at @harbor_studios. Girl Gotta Hike connects women with nature, confidence, and camaraderie through guided hikes and backpacking trips from New York City to the Catskills and beyond. To learn more about Girl Gotta Hike, including my hiking and event schedules, blog posts, and more, visit girlgottahike.com. You can also follow me on Instagram at @girlgottahike or on the Girl Gotta Hike Facebook page. If you're a fan of the podcast, and I hope you are, please take a moment to rate and review it on Apple Podcasts. The more good reviews I get, the more I can help other listeners get inspired to get out on trail or onto their next adventure or project. Just like one commenter, Olson Lax, who wrote, "Awesome cast, hiker or not. Great info and energy. I love the outdoors, but not on their level of hiking. Inspired, though. Helpful advice, suggestions, and stories. Thank you." No, thank you, Olson Lax. Your kind words are helping me to stay inspired and curious so I can keep sharing stories with all of you. So until next time, happy hiking!
My name is Avalu Baptiste, and I'm an outdoor lover. Attic, actually.
Perfect.